Good morning. On this second Sunday of Advent, we meet the prophet, the baptizer John, the son of Zechariah. So let us listen together for God's word. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, as he was in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And as it is written in the book, the words of the prophet Isaiah, "There was a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, saying, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" May God bless this reading and our hearing. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, your word's not a book, and it's not written with pen on paper, but your word comes to us alive, living, through your story into us. So help your story to meet us today and to become word. Amen. So there's a metaphor that has helped me to understand God and myself better, and it's the metaphor of a river. So imagine, if you will, the long and passionate love affair between God and human beings, so us. Imagine that long and passionate love affair as a river with its source at the Garden of Eden and its mouth at what Revelation refers to as the New Jerusalem, as Eden restored, as the kingdom of God fully realized. Now, as the river flowed out of Eden, it grew wider and longer and deeper as tributary streams entered into it of God's actions and humans' actions and circumstances and history. And as it's continued to flow, the river twists and turns. It changes color and chemistry and speed and turbulence. But all the while, the river flows on and on and on. Now, as the river flows, there are many valid ways for us to interact with the river of God's passionate love affair with us. Some of us stand on the river bank and fish into the river and find their food for our lives. Some people walk away from the river and decide it's not for them. Some people dam the river in order to get energy from it. Some people build bridges over the river so they don't get wet while crossing it. Some people jump into the river and right back out again. Some people jump into the river and out and in and out over and over again. And some people jump into the river with both feet and are utterly swept away by it. But it doesn't matter how we interact with the river, because the river flows on and on, never coercive, never deceptive, never manipulative, and it never rejects us. It just flows, inviting us and embracing us, letting us go when we ask it to, always feeding, always healing. And all the time, the river just continues to flow from love to love for the love of all of us. So John the Baptist found the river, but when he found it, it had flowed for a long, long time before it ever got to him. It flowed out of Eden. It flowed through the great flood and Egyptian slavery and the Exodus and wilderness wandering and through the promised land. It flowed through judges and kings and foreign occupation and the destruction of Jerusalem. The river flowed through a whole host of prophets who came to teach the people about the things of God and to be God's mouthpiece. The river flowed too through a whole series, a cycle of the people jumping out of the river and back into it again. Well, one day the river flowed to an aging and childless couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were relatives of Mary and Joseph, the mother and father of Jesus. So the river flows right up to them, and in the form of the angel Gabriel, God comes to Zechariah and tells him that his barren wife is going to give birth to a son named John, and we come to know him as John the Baptist. We don't know anything really about John in his younger days, but we know that when he got to be a grown man, things changed for him. I guess he wanted a deeper relationship with God. And so Luke tells us that the word of God came to John, which is Luke's way of telling us that at that moment, as an adult man, John decided to jump into the river of God's passionate love affair with us with both feet. And so there he was in the river, bobbing along, and he's got one eye looking back to where the river had come from. And he remembered the prophet Isaiah, who had predicted long before that somebody would come who wasn't going to be the Messiah, but who would prepare the way for the Messiah, who was coming to weave this whole broken world back together again. But you see, John had two eyes, and even though he looked with one on where the river had come from, he used the other eye to look at that glorious and loving and saving place that the river was flowing to. I don't know when it happened, but somewhere along the way in John's river journey, he found purpose. I don't know where it happened or when it happened, but somewhere along the way in John's river journey, he found purpose. And do you know what his purpose was? His purpose was to answer the ancient job want ad that Isaiah had put out. His purpose was to be the one who would make the path straight, who would prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And what that looked like, what his purpose looked like, was John swimming over to the side of the river and crawling his way out and standing on the riverbank and preaching and teaching and pointing away from himself to the Christ who would come. And what it looked like was him inviting other people to jump into the river with both feet, just like he had done. And what John's purpose looked like was him doing the things that would help the river continue to flow, getting longer and wider and deeper, flowing from love and to love, always for the love of all. So there's some lessons from the river for us today. The first lesson of the river that I want to highlight for us is this, that the river is always there for us. The river flows, right? It's not dependent on what you and I do or don't do. It's flowing from love to love for the love of all of us, and it's just waiting for us when we're ready, when we want it, when we need it. Which means that we don't have to be anxious about missing the river. We don't have to worry that it's somehow going to pass us by. Whatever is going on in our lives, wherever we're at in our belief and our relationship with God and God's people, whatever is happening, the river is flowing. It is always going to be there, and it will always be there for me and you and all of us. Which is tremendous, wonderful, great, good news. And that alone was worth getting out of bed and driving down here and hearing this morning. The river is always there for you. Well, second, a lesson of the river, I think, is that there are many valid ways to interact with the river, right? Maybe a way of saying that is that the river is non-judgmental. Some people fish from the riverbank. Some people dam the river. Some people build bridges across it. Some people jump in and out again. Some people jump in with both feet and are utterly swept away. But no matter how you interact with it, no matter what's going on in your life, let me tell you that it's A-okay. Not just with me, but with God. And we think about John and his life. John, as an adult, decided to jump in with both feet, but as a human being, I'm going to bet that he had a vacillating relationship with the river, that sometimes he bridged and dammed and jumped in and out and ran away. And as a fellow human being like John, I know that that's true for me and probably for you too. So our vacillations and the ways we interact with the river and our relationship with God, that never disqualifies us any more than it did John for the river's availability to us. Third, the river teaches us not only that it's always there for us, not only that there's many valid ways of interacting with it, but also that the river has a way of giving purpose to our lives. And as we saw with John, as an adult, he jumps in with both feet, he's connected to the past, he's got vision for the future, and out of that he hears God's call clearly. He finds purpose in his life, which was so powerful and transforming for him and for others that we're still talking about it 2,000 years later. And this isn't just a story about purpose. I know that in my own life, when I jumped into the river with both feet, I found purpose for my life. And I've heard that story repeated over and over again in the lives of many, maybe for you too. So the river has a way of providing purpose for our lives. Well, lastly, the river teaches us that it really, really wants us. So one of the core tenets of our Christian faith is that we have free will, right? That God is never coercive or manipulative, never forces us to believe or to jump into the river. But that choice is always ours. But at the same time, I think it's also true that God loves each of us so very much and wants all of the best things that life has to offer to us. Peace and justice and purpose and relationship and health and food and all of the best stuff in life. And a witness of our Christian faith is that the best things in life come to us when we draw closer and closer to God. Which is to say, the best things in life come to us when we jump in the river. And so because God loves us, God wants us to be in the river, not to control us, not to enslave us, not to bind us, but to free us, to liberate us, and to give us the best things that there are in life. So there's lots of lessons from the river, but here's four of them. That the river is always there for us. That there really, truly are many ways of interacting with the river, and however you're interacting with it today, it's totally fine. And good and right and true. That the river has a way of providing purpose for our lives, and that in the end, God loves us so much that God wants us to jump in to the river. So that's what I got this morning. Some things to think about in your Advent journeys as we prepare for the coming of the Christ child. Some things for us all to reflect on through Christmas Eve and the season of Christmas and on into the new year. As the river continues its wonderful flow from love to love and for the love of all of us, even you. Amen.